Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The most expedient, element in this path is the aspect of love and mahabbah. There must have been some reason for the Sahaba-e-Kiram to become overjoyed when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Anas radiallahu anhu says that nothing brought the Sahaba-e-Kiram that level of enjoyment, confidence, and cheer as these words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Man will be in the company of those that he loves. In our deeds, when we examine them, we scrutinize our works, then we will find some level of deficiency, whether ikhlas wasn't right, we knew it right, something or the other will find deficient. But the Sahaba-e-Kiram were quite confident of their love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hence, this is the thing that has to be developed. Muhabbat from one level to the other, and so forth and so on. Even though we fell short in other aspects, but in this respect of muhabbat, then we try our best to develop this, to move it up. This morning that hadith was read, that where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried and cried until his beard, his chest got covered with tears. And Aisha radiallahu anha had asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah has forgiven you everything, past and future, everything has been forgiven, then why do you cry like this? So his answer was, Afala akunu abdan shakura. Then mustn't I be a thankful servant? A saintly person was passing by a rock that was in tears. So he inquired from the rock, what's causing you to cry? The rock says that ever since I heard the verse, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, the fuel of Jahannam will be stone and mankind, and this causes me to weep. So anyway, the pious person turned to Allah Ta'ala, made dua, Allah Ta'ala must save the rock from the fire. His dua was answered, was told to the rock. Anyway, this pious person happened to pass by the rock after some time again, and he saw it still in tears, crying one way, in fact, more than before. So he inquired, now why do you cry? So he says, the rock says, that this was the thing that saved me from Jahannam. Now, this beautiful companion of mine that saved me from Jahannam, after it saved me, must I desert it, must I forget it? Now I'll remember it, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. Therefore I'm weeping now. Now is the weeping, but the weeping of happiness. What has Allah Ta'ala done for me? And as a mark and as a token of appreciation, am I crying? It's a token. What Allah, so much Allah Ta'ala has done for me. And can't I just cry for Him? Can't I show Him some appreciation, some level of appreciation? So this aspect of love and muhabbat is something that has to be enhanced, it has to be built, it has to be developed. And this is what they call Tariqah-e Qalandar. Though in every aspect the deeds may not be too much, one is doing his faraz, he's doing his sunnats, he's doing the mustahabbat and adab, and maybe he's not doing so much as what the pious people used to do in the past. But every deed of his is flavored in love. Every small deed, big deed, the element of love has consumed his mind. This person will be sitting down to eat, then he'll wonder at the favors of Allah Ta'ala. He will reflect over the favor of Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Ta'ala has done for him. He'll look within himself and he'll find himself deficient. In every respect, I'm deficient. Look at my deed, it's deficient. Look at my akhlaq and my character, I'm deficient. Look at my steadfastness, then I'm deficient. My loyalty to Allah Ta'ala, then I don't have that level. But then when I look at Allah Ta'ala, then how compassionate and loving and kind He is, that with all my limitations, all my weaknesses, all my shortfalls, but He's favoring me in this manner. What He's doing for me. In one dastarkhan, I see in just one dish, there may be about 10, 12 ingredients just added to one dish for preparing that. Then there are so many dishes, and more, especially in the month of Ramadan, so much more varieties. And then, as a norm, when you are sitting down to eat, then the family and people, when they'll come to call you, they call you with so much of respect, come and eat. And then, if you are delayed, for example, looking at the newspaper or something, and you're delayed, then they'll complain as though it's getting cold now, come and please come and eat. So much of love, so much of compassion, and so much of consideration. Whereas, if that food was served cold, it would have still done the work. But here it's meals, and meals with the cheer, meals with respect. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ So this person is entering into Jannat, but he says that Allah Ta'ala has not only blessed me with Jannat, but He has also honored me. There was a plate of food. I could have told you, see that that dog is there, you know, outside. Go sit with that dog and you can both eat. That food will still go into your system, isn't it? It won't go anywhere else. You'll still get the required amount of energy. But if at a walima or at a nikah, they ask you, go see there's a guard boy or someone that's outside there, go and have your meals with him. Will you attend that nikah? Will you eat that meal? Won't you take it as an insult? So in Jannat, Allah Ta'ala will not only brighten you, He will not only feed you, He will not only see to your luxuries, but He'll see to your comforts and luxuries with honor and respect. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukrami. That He will see to your luxuries and comforts, but with respect and honor, dignity. You see the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you see our contribution. Our contribution is like zero, absolutely nothing. And then look at His favors, favor upon favor, how He favors you. One saintly person, he told the people, okay, when I pass on, you know, then read this couplet. When you're taking my janaza across, then you read this couplet. He says that I have come to to your threshold empty-handed. Hmm? I've come to your threshold empty-handed. I've got nothing. Shay'an lillah az jamal ru'atu. But on account of the beauty of your countenance, something at least. What a beautiful note to be said, you know, at the time you're making dua. That Shay'an lillah az jamal ru'atu. That I am nothing, I have got nothing. I'm begging from the beauty of your countenance. Something from the beauty of your countenance. And if from his countenance and his beauty, if it's just one nazar, one sight, Alamgir, they say about Alamgir, Aurangzeb Rahmatullah Ali, he was about the most just king in India, most just. They were at a strength, at the point of strength that they could have exterminated Hinduism completely, wiped them out completely, killed them. But he allowed them. He gave them all the privileges, all their rights, their temples, their sites, all that. He allowed them to preserve them. Gave them even lands that could serve their temples and the prayer sites, etc. So much he has done. And not only that, but within their communities, if it was a Hindu community, for example, living in an area, then it also allowed that their own people could rule over their own class. The word that they use, Raja, you know. So it will be as though that person will be the head of that Hindu group. Hence, there was a situation in one province where the Raja had died and his child was an infant, about 12, 13, 14 years of age. So the people that were closest to the government, like closest to the Raja, they felt that this is the most suitable candidate. Right? But he doesn't have the age. If you're going to pass it on to someone else, there may be some dispute. You know, when you are voting in election, what is the type of fight and dispute and troubles that go on? So if you have it in this family, this may continue and will avoid a lot of trouble and a lot of unnecessary problems. So they had to get the approval from the central government. Central government is in Delhi, Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullah Ali. So en route they are coaching this child. They are rehearsing him. See, we are going, and this is the purpose we are going. So you have to play your cards very well. The king may ask you this question, and this is how you want to answer. This is the question he's going to ask you, and this is how you want to answer. And they went on coaching him. Whole road from wherever they're living, right until Delhi, they're coaching the child. Okay, this is what he may ask you, and this is how you're going to answer him. So after they did all their coaching, at the end he says to those people, what if the king asked me something that you people haven't prepared me in? You didn't give me the answers, but he asked me something else. Then what? So those people took shabash, congratulations. Inshallah, if your mind can take you to that point, then you will definitely cross this hurdle. They ushered him into the royal presence. At a time, the king was in his siesta, afternoon sleep, and he was just about taking a wash at the hose, at the pond. Some of you all that have seen the Jama Masjid, the hose, etc. It's about taking a wash, taking a ghusl or something. So he's ushered in, and the king more or less knows what's the reason. So, in a way of amusement, he's a small boy, 10, 12 years of age. So he catches him by his shoulders and he dips him into the water as though he's going to drown him. You know, he play with the child. So this young child bursted out laughing. So he pulled him out. What is this nonsense? I'm threatening you and you're laughing right in your mind. You know, the response is not is not in conformity. So the child says that, you know, your greatness is such, your majesty, your greatness, your generosity is such, the whole India hears about it, about your generosity, about your greatness, about your compassion and love. They all heard about it. And that is reached such a point that if your finger only touches someone, he is blessed. And me, I've got the support of your both hands. Then can you imagine how much I will be blessed? So Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi is a minuscule of the glory of Allah Ta'ala. So if Allah Ta'ala's one nazar falls onto us, and then do you need anything? Just one sight He gives us, just one. Pure kisi cheez ki bhi zarurat hai. We don't need dunya, we don't need anything, everything has been covered. Just one nazar of Allah Ta'ala. Everything has been worked out for you. So this aspect of love, of muhabbat. And then what are those elements that will enhance love? Now love is such a topic that it appeals to everybody. Youngster, even an old man, talk to him about love and it appeals to him. Youngster, he gets excited. Jhumta, from side to side. So love is such a thing that everybody, it excites everybody. Nobody can resist the power of love. Power of love is such. An animal also, that thing also appreciates love. You show it a little bit of love and see what that thing doesn't do for you afterwards. Animal, alaka is an animal, but a little bit of love and see what it doesn't do to you. The Quran Sharif speaks about the steeds of war. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا The steeds that gallop with panting breath. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا And then they strike sparks on rocky terrain, when they are running across the rocky terrain and the hooves, the iron hooves are striking on that rocky land, and how the sparks are striking. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا And in the very early morning, very, very early morning, just on the command instruction of the master, and they leave out right in the early morning, Mughirat, they give in the attack, launch in the attack right at the early morning. See the thing, it's galloping at full speed, and at a speed that it's striking sparks on rocky terrain. Then it's prepared to risk its life, giving in the attack right at the early morning, when it's the best time to sleep, you know. You know, you're having the sweetest sleep around that time, early morning, just before tahajjud, you know. The sleep is about the best. But at that time, just at the behest of the master, and it's giving in a full attack, not just getting up, but offering its life for its master. Mughirati subha. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ And then flying up clouds of dust, you know, it's running at a speed, talking of hockey terrain, that zamana now, the sandy terrain that you are going through, and clouds of dust is just flying because of its speed. Can you imagine a 4x4 moving on a rocky land? See how the dust is flying around. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعًا فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمَّعًا And then they penetrate right into the midst of the enemy. Right into the very midst of the enemy they penetrate. Right. So this is the qasam, the oath. And then after the oath is the answer to the oath. So the important thing is to know what is the answer to the oath. But five qasams just on the steeds of war, and then it culminates in the end with the answer of the oath. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّي لَكَهَرُ Man is extremely ungrateful to his Rabb. What have you done for that horse? You provided it as more stable, some fodder, and that's it. Anything more have you provided? Nothing more. Right? And then you find the Arabs don't even provide a stable, right? The horses are trained through such a way that they're not even provided, they're not even given a stable. Just a little bit of food, a little bit of attention that they give this animal. But this animal, to what level it's prepared to make sacrifices for you, giving you its life, its ease, its comfort, everything is offering. And then its respect for its master is such, okay, you won't find a horse, resting on its four legs. You'll hardly find a thing. You may have not seen a picture of a horse sitting on its fours, resting it out. The reason is obvious. The reason is that my master mustn't see me in a state that he feels I'm tired, I'm exhausted. I am ready on his call. I am ready. Whenever he wants me, I'm there for him. So you see the respect that it's giving, the service that it is offering to the master. But for what? For the little bit that you have offered. And this thing is giving you its life, its time, its aram, comfort, everything. Innal insana li rabbi lakanud. Allah Ta'ala ends this whole thing. Real mankind is very ungrateful to his Rabb. Ungrateful to his Rabb. What Allah Pak hasn't done for you, he's seen to your needs. You look at the one single morsel of food and you think about it yourself, it's likely that one morsel of food is coming from about 5-6 countries. Right? The meat may be local, the rice may be from India, the spices may be from Pakistan, right? Right? Then some of the ingredients may be like the lawang, etc., maybe from Zambia and this type of African countries, right? The cutlery may be from China. Right? Doesn't it happen? In one single dastarkhan, one single table, and how many varieties, how much is laid up? With that level of respect and muhabbat, Allah Pak gives it to you. Then He gives you that, gave you that brain, gave you that understanding, where you could have control over all the systems of the world. You got the control over the air, the control over the seas, the control over the land, control over the animals. So what favor Allah Pak didn't give you? He gave you that brain through which you have control of all this. Don't you have a control over the air, navigation? Don't you have control over the seas, sailing? Don't you have control over the earth, that you can move freely? فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ. You may walk on that, on the surface of the earth. وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ. He's given you so much of control, so much of control, and with so much of love and respect. It's not just control He's given you, but He's given you that control with love and respect. Don't you see that your household shows you so much of love and respect as you walk in, the type of love, respect that they show you. This is what? Again, it's a minuscule reflection of the love and the glory of Allah Ta'ala. That these people are showing all this type of tawajjuh, this type of attention. So as far as respect goes, He's giving you so much. As far as your sustenance, He's giving it to you, and He's giving it to you so beautifully, right? Then as far as your shelter goes, then that shelter also is so, it's so comfortable. It's to your specs, then it's designed properly, correctly, then it's livable, everything is in its place, and it looks so beautiful. You've got a different apartment for different things, you've got a lounge, then you've got a sleeping room, you've got an eating room. Now you compare yourself with an other animal. Does he have all these things? In one small little kennel, that dog must do everything. Make it his pisap also. It must eat also. It must drink also. Everything in that same thing. And no varieties. Do you see, you hear of an animal got varieties. You're feeding that thing every day, the same thing you're feeding it. Now, if I give you the same thing for the third day, kari kishri, morning and evening kari kishri, to kaanmati nikri jaya, huh? It will come out from your ears. Too much. I think you all gave enough now. You won't complain. If it's a little bit pious person, you won't complain. Say, no, I think enough now. I think we need a little bit of a change. Just one day, and You can't stand the same food. The varieties that is given you. And in that dish, again, you find the plate, that one dastarkhan, one table. And with that food, then there's achar there. And the achar, then there are sauces there. Then there's about 5-6 of those things, right? And they puronit you, that didn't finish. There's some juice and cold drinks, right? And that isn't finished, then there's tea and biscuits. And that isn't finished, then there's ice cream. And at the end, after everything, then there's some sukmuk and all that. At one table, so much, he lays it out. Who's giving it? Imagine who's giving all this thing. Did you ever think, who is the Rabb that is giving us so much? It's Kareem. What is the meaning of Kareem? Did you ever understand what is Kareem? Kareem, alladhi yu'ti bi ghairi istihqaqin. He gives you, in spite of you not being eligible. Did you do any work for Allah Ta'ala? Any favor for him? Are you an asset for Allah Ta'ala? You're not an asset. You didn't do any favor to him. Man amila salihan fali nafsi. What you're doing is for your own self. But he's favoring you like this. The love he's showing you, the compassion he's showing you, the consideration he's showing you. Everything. And then when he's blessing you in Jannah also, then he says, kulu washrabu hani'am bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliya. Eat and drink and enjoy on account of all the good that you have sent forth. Whereas he is blessing you. Even the grace to do that good work was his. But as a mark of honor, he's attributing it to you that you may be cheered up for the good that you had sent in the past. This is the reward, this is the remuneration. Kulu washrabu hani'am bima aslaftum. Enjoy. Enjoy freely. Khushi ke saath. Enjoy. Hani'am bima aslaftum fil ayyam al khali. You see this loving Rabb. Do we think of him like this? In a meal, do we think of him like this? So, this is called the tariqa al-qalandar. That it's a path of love. Through love, you are progressing. But for that, you need to reflect all the time. You need to reflect. Reflect and with gratitude. You reflect and gratitude. So when you're going to be reflecting, then you will eat that one morsel of food. Whatever it was, kofta or kalya, prepared in pure ghee. That zamana before they said port bandar ghee they should have. You got that ghee that side, pure ghee, and prepared to your specs. And then you're eating one morsel, and they say, mera Rab, mere pyare Rab, Allah Pak, you fed me like this. You are watching Allah Ta'ala, and you're watching His beauty, you're watching His grandeur, you're watching His ikram and excellence. In every morsel, you're watching it. See? And if you're going to eat like this, then aren't you going to be crying with love for Him? Aren't you going to be showing gratitude to Him? Say, Allah Ta'ala, what must I do for you? You've done so much and so much and so much, but what can I do for you? Won't you be showing some type, some level of appreciation? So, any facet of life, any department of life, and just ponder, reflect about the aspect of the love of Allah Ta'ala. What He's been doing for you at any given time, what He's been doing for you. So when you're going to be doing that, then you'll find that love, the aspect of love, the feature of love, will just come up. It will just come up. It will increase all the time. And this is the thing that is most expedient. Because the Sahaba Ikram themselves said that nothing brought us that level of satisfaction like this hadith, Al-Mar'u Ma'aman Ahabba. So it's that crosses every hurdle. Every hurdle is crossed. Everything. With love, everything happens. It's just muhabbat. You hear this Layla Majnun stories, even the kitabs they give you the stories, just to show you the power of love. Though it's a true story, but more or less it's aimed to show you what the power of love. What is the might of Allah, what it can do. After all, you look at major powers, right? And when the enemy wants to destroy them, then what do? Most of the time, some espionage or some type of sabotage, they have a woman in between. That's the carrot that they dangle, right? And then it's a love thing. And just because of love, the whole empire just crumbles. Doesn't it happen? Don't you hear those type of stories? Just because of love, just because of muhabbat, and the whole thing crumbles. So if such a big empire could crumble just on account of a woman, then an empire can also be built because of love. Like it can crumble because of love, then it can be constructed just on the basis of love. What can't you do? You hear of this Taj Mahal, right? One of the seven wonders of the world. So this Shah Jahan built it for whom? For his wife. Noor Jahan, he built it for his wife when he was under house arrest, right? And he did it for who? He did it for his wife. But the beauty that came out in it, the good that came out in it, we don't see him as go in that line, but I want to show you what love can do. Love, way it took him and what he constructed. People from all parts of the world, they go and see that time of, this person did this type of a thing. So this is that element that we need to add, that any work you are doing, then it has to be flavored with this. Admiral Thami Sahib Rahmatullah says that as I was leaving Makkah Mukarrama, then my Shaykh Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one of his parting advice was this, that Ya Ashraf, tum jab pani piyo, to zara isko thanda karke piyo. Admiral Ashraf Rahmatullah Ali, that if you want to drink water, then drink it cool. It's a hot day, very, very hot day, like how in India you're getting 40, 50 degrees going up to it, right? So drink it cool and refreshing. Because when it's going to be drunk cool and refreshing, then that Alhamdulillah will come out, and it'll come out from the heart. Alhamdulillah. And if you're a Kryptonian, you'll say Alhamdulillah. But the spirit that you will say it, so much of love, so much of muhabbat, you say it. Hey, Alhamdulillah. Now, won't that add to your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, affinity with Allah Ta'ala? On the contrary, if you're going to just drink plain water, you say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. So you're going to be drinking, but just as a routine, you'll say, Alhamdulillah. But you're going to drink it, refreshing, nice, tasty. Then that level of Alhamdulillah will be different. It will be totally different. So these small little ingredients that will add, don't we do it in our own homes? The wife will bake a cake, right? And she'll put the cream. And then the cherry on the top. Huh? Why she's doing it? Just to generate muhabbat. To generate that muhabbat, they will do all the decorations. And if there's that kachumar, if they're doing also salads, in that salad also, I think they'll take 2 hours to prepare that. They'll make a rose out of that thing, and they'll make a basket, and then put out what they'll do. Although it's against the philosophy of good health, according to Dr. Wanker. Dr. Wanker says it's not the philosophy of good health, the way they're making the kachumar. Because his reasoning is that that kachumar must be taken in excess. You must eat more. Eat one way, right? So if it was like the olden style, they just put that carrots and tomatoes, whatever, and so you just pour into your plate and you just eat it. Muscleful, you could eat it. Now if it's a designer kachumar, like how they're doing it now, then you'll be very, very apprehensive of the design also. I don't want to break that design. It took them hours to do that design. You're not going to eat it, you're going to eat it sparingly. So it's against the philosophy of good dieting, right? But the pain that they take in doing all this thing. Now, again, they're sharing love. That love, again, is the reflection of the glory of Allah Ta'ala. So who is passing on this love to you? And what he wants from this? He wants that you must come to me, but come with love. Come with muhabbat. One beggar is lowered down into his grave. And he's asked, "Bhai, tum kya lekar ke aaya ho? What have you brought for us?" So his answer was, کہ جب بادشاہ کے پاس آتے ہیں تو کہتے ہیں کہ کیا لوگے, when you come to a royal presence, in the royal presence they tell you, what are you going to take? They don't ask you, what have you brought for us? Now the beggar also got through, and he got through with love. What he says, they ask, now what are you going to take? They don't ask, because it's a king, it's a king's threshold that you have come to. He doesn't ask what you have brought for me. Say, what are you going to take? You want this, take this. What do you want? Just take what you want. In the time of Harun al-Rashid, there was a drought, you see, severe drought. So one person in the outlying areas, he struck with drought, animals are dying. So his wife is telling him, everybody is going to Harun al-Rashid and he's blessing them with his gifts. So can't you do something as well? Can you see how constrained we are? So go in and show him our plight, at least, you know, he will look at us favorably. See, everybody understands this lesson of love, everybody understands. An animal understands, dog will understand, cat will understand, everything will understand. They say about one dog, you know, that thing saw that some milk or some food was being prepared, you see. And everybody's gone. They got the thing on the stove and everybody's gone. And it is just about for the people to dish out. And the dog is making a noise as though it doesn't want you to take that food. So they didn't pay attention. They tried for the food again. I think he's making a noise again. When they won't listen to the dog, what the dog did, I think dived into the pot. And instantly it died. Then they discovered that one snake had got inside. So this dog was trying to save you from the venom of this snake. But it didn't have a language to communicate. It was trying to stop you, but you wouldn't listen to it. But it had to show you its loyalty. You see what you have done for me. You've given me a little bit of comfort. And for the comfort that you have given me, what I need to do for you. See? Even a dog understands the language of love. What you give it, a little bit of scraps. A little bit of scraps that you give, and then what it does for you. The Quran Sharif says, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَسِيدِ. Talking of love again, muhabbat, you know. And this people of the cave, they are calling the company of love, right? It's a jamaat of love. It's in divine love they are. When they are in divine love, so a dog also joins them. A dog also joins them. When that thing joins them, then the Quran Sharif also makes a mention of them. Whereas this dog is napak. It touches you, you can't perform namaz, right? It's najis. It puts its mouth into a utensil. Then some imams will say you have to wash it 7 times. Thaminuha biturab. And 1 time you have to scrub it with sand. Although it's not a requirement according to the Hanafis, but the other imams will tell you it's a requirement. 7 times wash the thing. And 8th time you rub it with sand, right? But that thing also, when it joined the company of love, Allah Pak made a mention of it in His Quran that is going to be recited throughout the ages of time, right till Jannat. That thing just had to join the Jamaat of love. Just the Jamaat of love, the group of love, Allah Pak makes a mention of the Napak thing. So when a Napak thing that is filthy, and that thing joined the group of love, Allah Pak made a mention of it in His most pure kalam. And if we join the Jamaat of love, won't Allah Pak make consideration for us? Won't He make a consideration for us? Just the group of love. Just come in, join up. Allah Pak knows that everybody is not going to be at the same level of deeds, right? But it's not Jay, just join up, never mind. Whatever it is, just join up. the forerunners may be in the first class. Right? The forerunners may be in the first class. Right? Like now they got the new plane, Emirate plane, you know. And they got a special room for you. It's above the first class, and above the first class it's got a special room with a 10-minute shower as well. Got a bed for yourself, a shower, etc. So that's the double first class. Right? Now, when you're going to be joining up with that plane, right, you all will be in the same flight, whether that person is in the first class or the double first class or the business class or the economy class, you will be in the same plane. Right? So we are like those people that are like in the economy class. Or take the example of a train, right? We are in the third class, right? Where perhaps the windows are broken, some of the fans are not working, right? We are there. But wherever this train is going to stop, right? Like the first class is going to stop there and jump off there, then you will also jump off the same place. So the beauty of joining up with this beautiful class, that wherever they're going to join up, then you will also join up the same place. Now, for all that what is required is just that ingredient of love. Try and motivate it. Try and increase the thing. Now, how do you increase it? There's about 4 or 5 deeds they show you. That you add this, and you'll find a quality in all your actions. Just that ingredient of love has to be added to this entire thing. And you'll find the quality of that production, the quality of your deed will just pick up. One is this, that you will remember Allah Ta'ala, zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Man ahabba shay'an akthara zikrahu. As much as you can. One is the prescribed zikr that they give you. But after that, in your free time, instead of loitering around, wasting your time in unnecessary conversations and things, you're remembering Allah Ta'ala. But with a niyat that for the love of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala, give me your love. With that niyat, with that intention. Not just zikr, but intentionally, Allah Ta'ala, I want an increase, a beg for increase in your love. Muhabbat, right? Number two is, constantly you reflect over his favors. Like I showed you just, the animal that you ride upon, the food that you eat, and the ingredient of love that is added to it, right? So the different aspects that you can add to this equation, like I showed you, the control Allah Pak has given you over the air, is giving you control. He's given you over the land, over the sea, is giving you control. Yet you aren't doing any favor to Allah Ta'ala, but he's given you so much of control he's given you. So then that is the second thing that you think about, his favors. Right? Then the third thing that you would do is you would sit in the company of the lovers, who are the true lovers of Allah Ta'ala. Then as much as you can, you sit in their company. In the type of people that you would sit and associate, those people's colors rub onto you, right? If the circle have got all one, some type of a phone, then you want that phone also, don't you? If they got mags, then you also get mad over the mags, don't you? Right? So they're doing something that you want the same thing. So their colors rub onto you. Now if you want to join up with the friends of Allah Ta'ala, then their colors also will gradually rub onto you. What they are doing, and what they like, what their likes are, will become your likes. What their dislikes are, will become your dislike. Gradually but surely, one passes to the other. So this is the third thing, and it's very effective, that the association, like I showed you, that the dog joined the company of the lovers, and Allah made a mention of the dog in the pages of his Quran. To last right till the end of time. So that's the third thing. Right? The fourth thing that is supposed to be done as well is to ask Allah Ta'ala for his love. Inni as'aluka hubbak. Hazrat Muhammad Masihullah Ramadan used to say that the words of the hadith, Allahumma rizukni hubbak. Allahumma rizukni hubbak. Allah Ta'ala, sustain me with your love. Now why did Allah Ta'ala say sustain me rather than saying Allahumma aatini hubbak? He says, Allahumma rizukni hubbak. Because like a human body, is sustained with food, right? He can't do without food. So Allah Ta'ala, I can't do without your love. Make it such that I am sustained by your love. I need your love and I need to be sustained by your love. Not just grant it to me, but sustain me. And sustenance you need all the time. You need sehri time, then you need iftar time, then after iftar, then after isha, then after the program, after isha, another tea. Doesn't it happen? So we need that sustenance all the time, Allah Ta'ala. That push we need all the time. Don't we need one installment now, again we need another one we need. We can't say at any time that we don't need Allah Ta'ala. So you ask for his love as well. See this, let's explain this one hadith and then end up. When you have eaten, right, then again Allah is teaching you a dua of love. He's teaching you a dua of love. حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي غَيْرَ مُوَدَّعِينَ. And then, وَلَا مَكْفِينَ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. Again, it's a word of love, it's a line of love. If you only understand the language of love, then you will understand these words. غَيْرَ مَكْفِينَ. Allah, we're leaving this thing out. But it's not that we're leaving it out permanently, Allah Pakh. No, we'll need this just now. See, you're bonding with Allah, like Allah Pakh. That when He's giving you, you're telling Him that, see, this was our capacity. So our capacity could only take so much. Because it could only handle so much, so we took so much. Now we're leaving it, but Allah Pakh, we need it just now. We need you again. Our dependence, our love for you. And not only for you, but even for your minutest of favors, but we need you for that as well. We need you for the minutest of favors. You're going for a safar, right? You took some food. That food will fulfill all your requirement, eating requirement. But you must take your chutney with also. Must take your achar with. That minutest of favor, the achar, chutney and all that, we still need that also. So the minutest of your favors, we still need Allah. غَيْرَ مَكْفِينَ وَلَا مُوَدَّعِينَ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. We have left it, but Allah, this is not enough for us. This is not enough for us. We'll just need it again just now. We've left it now for the time being, but it is not something that we have left away. We'll need it again. We can't show any type of an independent attitude towards this thing. So all these things will just enhance that spirit of love. So this is that last thing, that you beg for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Like you beg for His other favors, then you beg for His love. And what you get at the end, you get this, that you will be classed with the people that you love. If you love the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you will be with him. You love the Awliya Kiram, you will be with them. You love the Anbiya Alayhim Salaam, you will be with them. So you have aligned yourself with them, right? Then inshallah Allah will group you with them. And the fifth thing then, after the last thing, four things I've showed you. The fifth and the last aspect will be, then try and emulate their ways, the ways of the lovers. Right? The ways of the lovers, or the ways that are liked by the lovers. The ways that are liked by the lovers. Right? If after the i'tikaf now you have to go home, right? Approach your wife, whatever, right? So she likes a certain type of attar. So will you use that or not? And you are going, you've gone to Dubai now, you know, and you're phoning up, you know. So she say, you know, hey, you know that chocolate, what is that? That rectangle, that, huh? Toblerone or something, yeah. That chocolate must get from that white colored one, you know, the small one. So you're going there, you're going to show some token of love, right? So the ways of the beloved, what is loved by the beloved, you will try to adopt them. Small things, but it's the ways of the beloved. So as though Allah Ta'ala has sanctioned the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I love him. When he's sanctioned his love, right? So he's telling you, you know, if you just adopt his ways, you'll attract my love. Because I love him. When I love him, and you just emulate him, you follow him, you do his ways. The way he used to wear kurta, or the way he used to wear a turban, or the way he used to eat and drink, You just copy that design. You copy that and you'll get my love. Allah Ta'ala grant us a minuscule reflection of His love. See, we can't handle more than that. More than that, your heart will fail.